Chief Rain, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Holy zombie Jesus!
Revolution without dancing is a revolution not worth having.
My calculations are correct.
Television is the explanation for this. You see this in bad television.
Swallow your soul! Swallow your soul!
This is cool.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
You live in a spaceship, dear.
What was that? It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing. And it must pop, pop, pop. From 5 to 7, it must be green. Okay?
This, it won't be any different than any other show. Usually our shows end up starting like this, so if they start out decent, we may scare people.
I know. I like, you know, I like the opening banter. It's a little bit fun. It reminds people that we're not, you know, complete. Oh, wait. Never mind. We're completely nerds.
Oh, I thought you were going to say completely worthless. But yeah, nerds, anything really fits in that phrase. So yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. So this week, we're doing things a little different because one, Rendell is going through Hell Week with the play he's working on.
Oh, we need to explain what Hell Week is.
Hell Week, for those who don't understand, who have never done a production of any sort, is the week before opening. We're literally, actors, crew, the whole nine yards are pushed to their hardest to make sure they have every single line down, every single scene change down, all the lighting cues, all the sound cues, to make sure the whole show works perfectly. It is quite literally hell. Some big production shows, it'll go, you know, 12, 15, 20 hours a day. So, luckily, he doesn't have to deal with that, but still.
No, but the thing I do need to deal with is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are full dress rehearsals. Also, Tuesday I get to get up early, because that's when I go over to this TV station to film my interview at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, bollocks that.
Yep. And then Friday, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon are shows.
Bollocks to that. I mean, 7 a.m.
Yeah, technically we work a full week.
Yeah.
So it is literally going to be Hell Week.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that next week we have Friday and Saturday and we're done.
Which is always nice.
Yeah, and it's a sweet group of people. We went and did the final touch-ups like putting up curtains and stuff like that. And me and a couple of other people just sat in the green room and talked for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it was really fun.
Oh, I bet.
I need to get you in the Mission Ridge.
Mission Creek?
Mission Creek out here because Mission could do wonders with that place.
Yeah.
They have their own theater, their own basement. All of their props are organized in labeled boxes. I mean, this place is a dream for a theater person. It's just run so smoothly.
Nice.
There are so many things that the players could do with it.
Very nice. Anywho, now with the normal weekly banter out of the way, you know, we can progress into the show a bit. Because, as I said, you know, we're pre-recording this, so we can take our damn sweet time with this, because I can always edit later.
Yep.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, for example, right now I'm watching a few other things while we do this. So, you know, hey, I can multitask. Sweet deal.
I just got done watching some Game Breaker TV, the gameplays.
Ah.
Oh, I want to save them and put them on a DVD. They've got 4 now for Trine, too. And they got one for Magicka, which if you haven't seen it, is just hilarious. It's a Final Fantasy type game, but the trick is you've got preset spells that everybody has, and those spells affect the other players.
Ooh.
So like somebody like Gary, who is well known for being a bit daft,
a bit.
Will cast chain lightning on one character, and then the lightning jumps to the mics.
Oh, God.
Or, the best one, they have a heal spell, but it's an electric spell, and he tried casting it on himself when he was wet. And that's, you can pretty much guess where that went.
That ended badly.
Yes, he ended up killing himself. and the mics were rooting him on, because they knew what was happening, because every time he tried to heal, his health dropped. But yeah, that's the game breaker. I don't mind Gary being in, because he shows how inept he is.
Yeah.
But it is funny, because Mike Shafnut and Mike B just constantly rag on him. So it's worth it. But
yeah.
I've been trying to catch up on that because I haven't been home to watch it, so. And I won't be this week either.
Yeah. So. Oh, and, you know, speaking of stupidity and ineptness, since that is how we are starting this, I figure I might as well just take full advantage of this. And there's this there's this article I ran across, and this one's kind of a real special case. You know, tinfoil hats do not protect from stupidity.
Yeah. Where is that? I looked at that and it's like, God, I can't believe people need to be told this, but then again, some people are that bad.
Some people really are. I mean, and it's just horrible. I on one hand, I should feel bad, but on the other hand, it's just golden show material. In this particular case, Tabitha Edington, 23, of Prescott, was booked into the Yavapai County Jail. Yeah, I wish I could make these names up. Monday on felony charges of burglary after a manager alleged that she had wrapped 9 PS3 video games valued at almost $600 in foil she took from the store shelf, then concealed the games in a paper sack in her shopping cart. The manager theorized the foil was intended to thwart the anti-theft scanners at the store entrance. Okay. It's real special. That's
the only thing I can think of is she thought that because it was semi-metallic, if the anti-theft scanners were like, if maybe she thought it was like a laser, and if she wrapped it in something like that, that it would reflect the thing. I honestly don't know what device those are, but you'd almost need lead.
Yeah.
To stop those.
Yeah. Well, this is where it gets a little more peculiar. As an officer placed Eddington in handcuffs, she reached for her purse. And officers found a 6-inch kitchen knife in the open purse compartment. Eddington yelled profanities and was uncooperative as she was escorted into a store office. She told officers they had no right to arrest her and refused to sit down and answer questions. Eddington was booked for one count of burglary, since she had no means to pay for the items she allegedly tried to steal. And
I'm sorry, Eddington was high on something.
Had to have been. Absolutely had to have been.
What the fuck did she think she was going to do? Butter him to death? It's a kitchen knife. A kitchen knife is one of the dullest instruments created. For people like her, so they can't hurt themselves.
I think you're thinking of a butter knife. This might have actually been in a proper kitchen knife. But if that was the case, that's even worse. But
how big is 6 inches?
Standard penis size. For American male.
I don't want to know how you know that, but now I'm wondering, are we talking blade?
The blade. Generally, when they say a kitchen knife is 6 inches long, they say the blade itself.
Okay, because it just says kitchen knife in your notes. And a standard kitchen knife is about 6 inches.
Yeah.
A butter knife is about 6 inches. That's why I was thinking that.
Well, knives in general, standard is 6 inches.
Yeah.
Is there a strange connection there? Am I just seeing into things a little too deeply, or is there a weird...
But between kitchen knives and dicks? How the hell should I know? You're the one who went there in the first place.
I thought it was an interesting connection, but hey, you know, whatever, fine.
And my mom worries about me. I have never connected something to dick size. That I'm aware of.
Oh, you've probably done it. You just don't remember. Speaking of compensation and whatnot.
Oh, God.
Gundam is finally getting a Japanese theme park. On April 19th, a new theme park dedicated to the Mobile Suit Gundam is opening in Japan called Gundam Front. The small theme park will offer exhibits that allow visitors to experience the famed mecha. Located at the shopping mall in Tokyo's Odaiba, near the giant Gundam, Gundam Front takes about 2,050 square meters of floor space. There are free exhibits as well as ones requiring entrance fee. In that area, visitors can watch a film about the giant Gundam and peruse various Gundam artifacts. Tickets cost 1,000 yen, 13 American dollars, for adults, and 800 yen, 10 bucks, for kids. The free area includes a Gundam model display and a Gundam shop.
Well, that actually sounds like if you're into that, that would be a neat place to go.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a lot of fun. And, you know, talking as a Gundam fan, or mostly a Gundam fan, it sounds like a real fun thing. I will never see it because I doubt I'll ever make it to Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told my mom that I'd love to go to China, see the Great Wall sometime.
Yeah.
Because we saw a vacation thing for a town in China, and she's like, "Nah, I have no desire to go there." I'm like, "That's fine. I'll go for you." That and I can't do this anymore, I know, but my ninth grade English teacher went to the Great Pyramids when you could still climb them.
Yeah.
And has a picture of himself sitting on top of the Great Pyramid. I'm like, oh, I'd give anything for that.
Well, yeah.
That would be cool. Or Stonehenge. I wouldn't, one of those three.
Yeah.
Of course, they got a Stonehenge replica out in Washington, and I've been there.
Hmm.
It's down by the Dales when we went down to visit Angela's mom.
Oh, okay.
Somebody
yeah.
built a replica of Stonehenge, and that is actually very neat to go to.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice little... It's, you know, if you don't think you're ever going to get there, well, you've got at least something, so...
You know, while we're still on it, might as well get the last penis joke out of the show this week.
We have another one?
Kind of. Master Blaster, the Sonic Contraceptive.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. A new breakthrough in the wonderful world of forced infertility has sonic waves reducing the sperm count of men. The only problem is it's not known if this technique could be reversed, so it's still in the works. Scientists from the University of North Carolina say a non-oral form of male contraception is on the horizon. According to researchers, all it takes to be effective is a couple blasts of high-frequency sound waves delivered straight to the testicles. Using ultrasound equipment typically used for physical therapy, a team of researchers led by UNC's James Ceruta showed that exposing the testes of rats to two 15-minute doses, quote-unquote, of ultrasonic radiation could reduce sperm counts in the rats to levels that, in humans, would result in infertility. If the effects prove reversible and the treatment is deemed safe, ultrasonic contraception could soon become a common form of male birth control. So essentially, you super base your super bits, and you could save you and your partner from a very stressful pee-on-a-stick date. The danger is that the onset of the miracle cure to daddy babyitis will likely require these brilliant scientists to invent a sonic blast that cures a whole multitude of sexually transmitted diseases. The fear of impregnating a woman might have been the last bastion of logic to resist impulsive hookups.
And the thing is... that's cool, but
yeah.
Can you imagine how much it would cost? I mean...
Actually, I don't think it would really cost that much. I mean, once it's set up and figured out, I don't think it really costs that much. It'd probably be cheaper than birth control pills. Because you think
that's the thing. It's going to have to be, or nobody's going to try it, because birth control pills, it's known what the effects are. Nobody is going to pay, like, let's say it was $400, but it lasted long enough that it was worth it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all well and fine, as long as they can prove, like they said, that the effects aren't permanent. Because there's a whole shit ton of temporary fixes that you can get for probably $5 a box.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. This is one of those ones, if we see that it's a product within 3 years, I'll be surprised, because they have to test it. They have to prove it's reversible. Then they have to find a way to make a device small enough that people will buy it, but powerful enough that it can do what they want it to. That's not easy.
No. They also have to make sure it's, reversible.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. But hey, kudos to them. It's a neat thing, although I'd hate to be the person who's paying for it.
Yeah.
How do you write up a grant for that?
I don't even want to think about the paperwork involved in that. That's just kind of, that's into a lot strange territory.
That's a lot of paperwork, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm noticing a lot of Japanese things in today's show. I don't know how that's happened. Next up, since the almighty Valentine's Day is coming up.
Damn it, where are you? I lost my place.
It's the next article down. One happens to be the loneliest number besides 01. Should you happen to visit Tokyo's Takashima Maya department store by Valentine's Day, you can greet Dr. Hiroshi Ishiguro's Geminoid F Android, who's engaged in a curiously forlorn bit of street theater. While waiting for a friend who will never show up, the female robot cycles through 65 separate emotions. She also refuses to suffer fools during her solitary vigil. Professor Ishiguro explains, "Think of the android as an ordinary person. Treat it as if it's a person sitting there in the usual way. If you react as you normally would to a sitting person, the android will react. But if you pester it too much, it'll ignore you. I think it'd be fun to imagine what the android might be feeling while you're watching it."
That is interesting.
I'm going to let you play with this one a little bit. I got to hear your idea, your thoughts on this, because I have my own thoughts, but I want to hear yours before I start going off.
I actually would love to be able to sit down next to it and just see what it's like. See how much interaction something like that has. Because the Japanese are getting very good about making robots that can carry on full conversations.
Yeah.
So it would really be, I would love to go over, just see if you can sit down and have a very basic conversation. I think that'd be cool.
Well, with 65 separate emotions, and it does have, obviously reactionary programming and whatnot to certain situations, so it may not necessarily be capable of jocular interaction, but it will at least have a reaction. I mean, it'll actually, physically, respond in some way, at least, little twitches, stuff like that, which is kind of creepy on one hand, kind of cool on the other.
I'm actually looking at a picture of this thing. It actually looks very nice.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of good in making it look as human as
possible.
The stuff that they have will make them do it.
Yeah. Well, the Japanese seem to be really pushing hard on the robotics territory. A whole lot harder than America, Germany, France, Britain.
Well,
and that's pretty much something you expect from Japan. But, you know, with this, this is another one of those steps into the uncanny valley territory of things. I'm kind of wondering, will we see them come out with a fully emotive sentient robot, or at least near sentient robot, within the next couple decades?
I mean, easily. Japan, easily. I wouldn't be surprised if they had something close to it at the end of this decade. But the thing is, most of the Japan, in however this worked, it's worked to their benefit. After World War II, Japan has literally isolated itself. Every other country, shut up, cat. Every other cat in, or god damn it. I'm okay, Matthew. Get this out now, because in a week you can't be doing this. Oh fuck. No, well, we should be done by then. But just about every country in the world since World War II has had some military thing that they've been spending money on or stuff like that. And Japan has only really had technology. Well, so when it comes to them being this far advanced, it's cool. But it shouldn't surprise anybody, because that's what they've been working on pretty much since the 1950s, is just, we're not going to do anything military anymore. There's enough countries in the world for that. We're going to do science, and we're going to do it good, and we're going to do it as much as we can. So yeah, I would not be surprised if before 2010 or before 2020, if they aren't just miles closer to it.
Well,
pretty much got it now.
I actually do have an answer for you. Because you're wondering. Part of that stems to a similar thing that was enforced on the Japanese as what was enforced on Germany post-World War I. They just reacted better. Is a complete and total disarmament. They technically do not have any sort of standing military force at all. Per United Nations doctrine.
I think they've got like a state police, but
they have a self-defense force. They have the JSDF.
Yeah.
Which is, they don't leave the country. They are literally for protecting Japan solely. Very rarely are they allowed, you know, to branch out and stuff like that. That's why they heavily rely on our military might to protect them. After World War II, they went through a heavy, heavy, heavy industrial complex just shift. They just completely shifted into a hyped-up industrial complex movement, which is what has led them to where they are today. So there's your history tidbit for the year.
Yeah, there is literally... Well, like you just said, they don't need to worry about military anymore.
No.
So everything that goes on in the rest of the world they have no say, and they have no desire to say in it, because now they've got what they want. They have their own country, they have their own rules, and nobody in the world bothers them.
And
is it any wonder that it's the only thing it's any wonder is that they haven't been able to progress further, although this is public.
Yeah.
Who knows privately, you know, how much further they've gotten.
Well, after what Emperor Akihito did, you know, with World War II joining the Nazis and whatnot, and the Italians, and this is still the Meiji Restoration period, so essentially for them, so that was their one little dip. That was pretty much okay. Here's our stupid moment. Let's close our doors back up and go back to doing what we should be doing. Yeah. So, like I said, there's your history lesson for the week. Who said you can't learn something intellectual from us?
Just about everyone.
We have our moments. We have our moments. Let's see. Oh, okay. This one's kind of a defeat his cat enthusiast thing a little bit. I just couldn't resist. I had to throw it out there. It was just to fill, A couple in Florida got a real surprise this past week when they're expecting Mama Cat gave birth to a live two-faced kitten. Of course, there are no other choice but to name the cat Harvey Dent after the Batman villain known for his double features. Called a Janus cat, or Janus, among veterinary circles, the term was derived from the god, the name of the Roman god with two faces, though the survival rates for this rare phenomenon are low. Several cats with the syndrome have been known to live full and happy lives. One Janus cat in Massachusetts lived up to 12 years of age, the oldest living one on the books, according to the Guinness Book of Records. The cat's two heads function as a single unit. While when one side meows, the other opens its mouth. Same with the feeding. The family has been in touch with the veterinarian in their hometown of Port Charlotte, Florida, who is working with them on how to give Harvey the best care possible.
That is really interesting.
Well, it's yeah, it is really interesting. And you don't, you know, have you noticed that there's been more reports of things like that cropping up more and more? Two-headed animals, two-faced animals, stuff like that,
well,
in the last couple of years.
I wonder what could be causing that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a rant that could take us 24 hours to explain.
Oh.
That's not its own show. That's its own podcast.
Yeah.
There is no way to explain that.
Yeah. Well, and... But, you know, I figured you'd enjoy that article because, you know,
yeah.
You're a cat lover and...
Oh, yeah.
It's a comic book.
What was your first clue?
Yeah. If you've ever seen this Facebook page, you... My God, man. Full of cats.
What?
It's so full of cats.
I thought you were talking about my, because I think I changed my, my profile picture to my parents' cat. At least I was going to. Nope, I didn't.
But you
I
and your
do
cats.
That.
This next one is likely to get me into trouble, just because of what they're doing. Here we go. Science has found ways to read your mind and rather read your thoughts. Researchers at UC Berkeley have shown it's possible to decipher the words that a brain is thinking about that could theoretically make it possible for a patient in a coma to communicate. Though that's still a long ways off. The research follows previous studies in the physical effects of thought. It had been already shown that pattern of blood flow in the brain can be matched to the images that a person were thinking about, albeit in a fairly imprecise manner. The new study aimed to take that step further by looking for specific words. Dr. Brian Paisley's team looked at the superior temporal gyrus, which is part of the brain that is linked to hearing and helps translate the sounds of a word to its meaning. Team carried out the study on patients undergoing treatment for epilepsy or brain tumors. While that may not have been a perfect control group, it did mean there was less disruption in the testing, which involved attaching electrodes to the brain. Seriously, what is with people and attaching electrodes to the brain? It's just, what the hell? Have you figured that out?
What?
Attaching electrodes to the brain.
Yeah. You don't understand that?
No, it just... It seems to be... That's everything they do now. Oh, we'll attach an electrode to the brain. We'll attach an electrode to the brain. We'll attach...
That's essentially what an electro... What is it? Electroencephalogram in the EEG is.
Mm.
You have nodes that are glued to your skull, and they read the thing. Shit, they've been... That's one of the first tests I had, like, in the early 80s. Though they got away from that a lot because of MRIs and whatnot, but I think for things that need that much signal, they still have to use it.
Well,
it's not that big a deal, really.
I don't go to a doctor a lot, so, you know, I just kind of, you know, don't think about it too much.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. Shit, if I wouldn't have had it done, I wouldn't know it either, because that was 82, I think, was the last time I had one.
Yeah. You know, first off, the researchers played recordings of a series of words, both genuine and made up, like fook. And people in Northwest England, Northwest of England, would take issue with Fook being a fictional word. And if you really don't get Fook, I'm not even going to explain that one. It's pretty.
It's the
simple.
F word.
Yeah. Then built up a spectrogram image of their brain activity. Then they asked patients to think about the words, such as that they would hear the word in their internal monologue. The researchers again measuring the brain activity. Rather than simply comparing the visual recordings of the activity, the researchers also developed a computer system that could turn the recorded thoughts into simulated speech. In most cases, the speech resembled the original word, but sounded like a voice distorted by echoes and other interference. That's kind of interesting. It was close enough that the researchers could correctly identify the word being spoken, quote-unquote, in 90% of the cases. Paisley believes that the technique could go beyond simple working with controlled range of possible words. He says it's possible to build up a reference list of homonyms and the similar distinct the sound that goes towards making speech, and thus pieced thought words together. Paisley likens it to the way an expert pianist knows what sound each key makes and can therefore work out what tune is being played without hearing, just by seeing the keys being pressed. Whether this could really be used for patients who are totally unable to communicate, such as those in comas, remains to be seen. Despite the results of this test, it's still possible that although the same areas of the brain are working, both when somebody imagines the sound and when they really hear it, the process may be different, which is true. It's a really interesting concept. They took some of the initial study work and kind of ran with it a bit more to see what they could do with it, and here's what they can do with it so far. Well, it's a very selective test group and probably not the best test groups to work with. They at least took a medium and said, okay, here's a bunch of people who we can get to do this. They've, you know, got distinct and, you know, strange brain patterns due to, you know, a variety of issues. Let's see what happens with them. And hey, they've made something out of it, at least. Though I'd like to see what would happen if they hooked me up to something like that. I'm pretty sure I'd be in trouble within, like, 20 minutes. What do you think? Do you think I'd get in trouble if they hooked me up to one of those things?
Do you have to ask? You can only show so many mental patterns for sex. You would be doomed. They would throw you out.
Oh no! If we're gonna be real honest here, someone would probably be going.
Okay, tentacle sex. My bad. Breathe, kid, breathe.
Well, I can't really deny it.
No, really, there's no way in hell you can deny it.
What's this pattern here? It seems to say tentacle. Tentacle and...
If we were live right now, I'd be so tempted to play my Cthulian baby, but I'm waiting on that. That's going to be for when we have our guest on.
Yeah.
Because, shit, he wrote and sang it, so.
Yeah.
And I know exactly who he wrote and sang it for, so I don't know. That probably doesn't raise me very high in the standings.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad. It really is.
But it's true.
It's true.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't be any better.
Yeah. Well, though, yours would have more cats.
Yeah, mine would have cats.
Actually, I'm pretty sure one of them would be just a string of nyan, nyan, nyan. What the hell is all this nyan stuff? Wait, is that a loud nyan or is that a quiet nyan? Oh. Is that a rainbow? What the hell?
And a Pop-Tart? What the hell is this kid on? Reduce his medication quick. We don't know what's going on anymore.
Worst part is we can't deny it. We can't.
No, I wouldn't even try. The thing that would be worse would be if I started switching into Lost Angels mode. I would drive some people crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've told you some of the strange shit that goes on there. Can you imagine a scientist being exposed to that?
Oh, they'd lose their mind.
They'd break so badly. It'd be great.
Speaking of me losing minds, I just so I can make a note for myself during this recording. Here is where I should insert some music. I'm just thinking aloud, hey, whatever.
So I better not stop him. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. cough. Yeah.
You walked right into that.
Yeah, speaking of things that are kind of a cough situation, cockroaches, the new biofuel.
How the hell did we get on that?
I saw an opportunity and I took it.
You're just fucking with things now.
Just a little bit. Biofuel, currently a hot topic for doctors seeking to implant peacemakers and other life-saving devices in the body without need for batteries and the like. Well, researchers at Case Western Reserve University have possibly found the answer to one of our least favorite creepy crawlies. The cockroach. Using a combination of enzymes in a series at the anode, the researchers have developed a chemical energy converting fuel cell that creates a maximum power density output of nearly 100 microwatts per square centimeter at 0.2 volts. Doesn't sound a lot, but that's enough to actually keep, pacemakers and a lot going.
Well, and pacemakers can draw energy from blood or whatnot. They're more bio-friendly, so they don't need as much power as they did. At least I think that's what they're at now. I remember hearing something about that.
Well, they connect to some of them connect to the bloodstream or near the capillaries and whatnot, and conduct the bioelectric energy off of the iron and blood cells. Electrostatic charges and stuff like that. Okay, yes, I actually do know stuff like that. I have a strange bioelectric field myself. The enzyme Trehalase. God, I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce that right for the life of me.
That looks close enough.
Yeah. Is the first in the line breaking down the sugar trehalose, which is in the constant production in a cockroach. The trehalose is broken down into simpler sugars called monosaccharides.
That's right. Monosaccharides.
Hey, cool. And the second enzyme oxidizes those, releasing electrons. The cathode draws the electrons, at which point oxygen is reduced to water by these electrons. Which is kind of... Yes, we keep teaching people these interesting things. We're going to become an educational show at this rate. A very demented...
Just public service announcement. That, along with $1.50, will get you a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Maybe a discount if you can really pull it off like you know what the hell you're talking about. They may be impressed enough to give you a free cup. Yeah. I wouldn't bet on it, though.
Depends on where you go. The difficulties with the first enzyme caused a year-long delay in the research, but after the study's 5 long years, pushing through the problems has been worth... They've taken 5 years to play with cockroaches. That's kind of creepy. Inserting electrodes in the blood sinus of a female cockroach left the insect pretty much unharmed, ready to scuttle off to the dark corners of your house to wait till you fall asleep. With no long-term damage, it seems there's no ethical debate about implanting the little critters with electronics. I have to wonder if the world would feel the same if it was happening to cats and dogs.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah. Is this technology leading us down the road of cyborg creatures? Perhaps one day we'll be able to have a dog that can power our hot water and literally comes bounding back when we hit return on the remote.
That That'd be nice.
Or maybe we'll be able to install quantum computers into our brains and upload and download information directly. Imagine lecturers Bluetoothing information straight into our brains.
We make jokes about that, but that's one of the things that they've always said that they're working to.
Yeah. You know, I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself there. These are, after all, just some cockroaches creating a bit of a spark, right? In any case, we at least now know that even after a nuclear apocalypse, we'll still have one power source scuttling about the Earth.
And after it absorbs all that radiation, it'll be a lot more powerful.
Oh, I'm suddenly having a flashback to a Godzilla movie. But actually, you know what? Godzilla would be the best power source on the Earth. Oh my god. I'm better now.
Fine, you plug a cord into him and I'll be running the other way. Laughing the entire way, probably. Did you see what that stupid fucker just did?
Did he really just stick that cord up in that? Oh my god. Yeah.
Actually, no, let me amend that sentence. I wouldn't be running away. I'd be dead because I would have fallen over right there and been cackling so long. Whatever exploded, I'd be caught up in because I wouldn't be able to move. I would have laughed so hard, I probably would have passed out. Of course, Chaos would be going, "You motherfucker, get me out of here," and I'd be useless. So,
if you've ever seen the movie Evolution, you know that scene near the end with the fire hose and the things. Yeah, that's the image you're just about. Yeah, that's the image you should have. Except implant Godzilla and me with a giant electrical cable, and you're good to go. I now feel dirty for saying that.
Okay. With the jury, please remember that I did not push him to go in that direction. He did it willingly. I take no responsibility for the preceding statements. You did. I gave you the shovel and you dug straight to China with it.
Yeah, I did. This is so bad.
Oh, and I could so make a racist joke right now. In fact, my head is...
Don't. Right
there's
there.
About
stop.
Five of them in my head right now.
Just stop right there.
Oh, man.
So horrible.
And this is why they really shouldn't let us on live.
Imagine if we were doing this live, it'd be so much worse. Oh god.
If we were doing this live this evening, that next day there would be a story about how somebody drove off the bridge because they were laughing too hard and weren't watching where they were going. And ended up in whatever body of water is nearest. So.
Yeah.
And they may still do that. I mean, it's still going to be played, so there's still a possibility we may kill someone here.
And with me able to center all the F's and the S's and whatnot, it could actually go on air. Just because we've been doing so much freaking science, I feel the urge to shift gears a little bit.
Aww.
Shifting just a little bit. Let's go into a little happier territory, a little funnier territory. Video games.
Okay. I'll bear with you because I don't know how something could be funnier than what we just went through, but I'll see. Actually, I think I know where you're going, and this is just.
Well, this, speaking of not safe for work.
I know where you're going. Okay, ladies, god damn it, I don't have the sound. I can't bring it up. This is our first jump into the gore news section.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, there's no way this doesn't qualify as gore news.
Yeah, gamer dies in Taipei Internet Cafe. 9 hours later, someone notices him. Chen Ronyu of Taiwan checked into an internet cafe in the city of New Taipei on Tuesday evening to play a popular PC game, League of Legends. Yes, League of Legends has finally claimed its first victim.
Well, it's about time.
Wednesday evening...
killing everybody so far.
Yeah. Wednesday evening, a waitress found the 23-year-old sitting rigidly in his chair, hands outstretched towards the computer. He'd been dead for up to 9 hours. Intense levels of concentration in marathon gaming sessions are common at internet cafes throughout the region, where players purchase computer time in order to log into their favorite MMOs. So it makes a lot of it makes a sad sort of sense that the 30 other people working and playing at the new Taipei location failed to realize they were sitting in the same room with a corpse. Rong Yu was apparently witness talking on his cell phone around noon on Wednesday, the last time anyone recalls seeing him alive. Initial police reports indicate he may have died due to cardiac arrest brought on by blood clots formed due to a combination of cold temperatures, exhaustion, and lack of movement. According to his family, he had been treated for a heart condition last September.
So that wasn't doing him any favors either.
No. But, okay, if you noticed, a lot of gamers seem to die in the Asian countries.
I will say this. I will never go in that place to eat, because knowing what I do about dead bodies, let's just say that his current meal was no longer in his stomach and was probably in his pants by the time they found him.
Well,
and if they, after several hours of smelling that, didn't move or didn't think about it, I don't want to go anywhere near it. That kid must have been rather ripe by the time they finally noticed this. And I would imagine that's one of the reasons they finally did notice this.
Yeah. Because,
my God. Although, that's really something that, all seriousness, that is something that they do have a huge problem with, is internet cafes. There are internet cafes. Internet cafes are to Asia what Starbucks is to everywhere else.
Yeah.
You can literally go and there will be four of them on the same street. So, and they are not expensive.
No.
They can you can go over there. Of course, they're like a normal like Starbucks or whatnot. It's not only game time, they're also, you know, food and
coffee
and stuff like that. So they don't have to charge that much.
And
because people are always eating or whatnot, and I'm sure it doesn't cost much to have any more to have internet for a place like that than it would be a house, so you're not probably talking much for connection there. And that's a monthly thing, so I don't think they're not metered like UK is, I don't think. UK is fucking expensive, but you pay for bandwidth there.
Yeah.
And you actually pay for the call connection. It's like it used to be with like AOL. You'd call up your local number.
Yeah.
So, that's that's weird. I will go along with you. That was a change, but I'm not sure it was for the better.
Yeah. While we're still in the gore news category of gaming, I have this one to throw out at you, and this one's a little. I'll be honest. This one's kind of fooked up.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, there's no little about it.
Yeah, this one is video gaming interrupted by sadistic sisters, cruel dangers, or better known as, what the fuck is wrong with people?
I definitely agree with that. I don't want to know what's wrong with these two. I just want them put to sleep so we don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah. It started out as any other fall afternoon. High school student Joseph, quote-unquote, was in his room playing video games when he got a call from Amanda Johnson to come over to her house. Joseph's last name is being withheld to protect his privacy because as Wisconsin County Sheriff's Office stated, what happened to him is shocking at best. The Huffington Post...
That's the understatement of the year right there.
And this is coming from Huffington Post and whatnot, so, you know...
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying there's no way that that could, that
this is its
own level.
Yeah. The Huffington Post reported that after inviting him to her house, Johnson and her 24-year-old sister, Valerie Bartke, a nursing assistant according to Facebook, apparently forced Joseph to drink their urine and then twisted his penis with pliers after he refused to have intercourse with Bartke. This young man has some vulnerabilities, and besides being taken advantage of, I don't think there has any other motive to it than making fun of him, Lieutenant Kathy Borchetz told the Huffington Post. The sisters and some friends apparently started smoking pot. Joseph declined. At first, there were some jokes about punching Joseph, but the violence turned real, and the sisters and another male friend started stomping and kicking him. Joseph broke free, but his shoes were thrown in the toilet. Joseph made his way to the porch, where Bartke supposedly gave him a drink that she said was like lemonade. Joseph drank it, after remarking it tasted kind of like beer. Joseph was then told he just drank the girl's urine. According to the... Further, a witness later told authorities that Joseph was later seen naked in a bedroom and heard the girls tell him to show them his penis and bend over and show him his asshole. Berkey's 4-year-old daughter was apparently crying in the next room. Joseph said that Valerie told him she was pregnant and wanted to have twins. Joseph said that Valerie wanted him to do the other part and have sex with her so she could have two babies. And it goes on, and it just gets...
This is... I don't care if that bitch is a mom or not. She needs to be put down like the dog she is so we can all forget this ever happened. And I don't care who writes in pissed at me. There is nobody who can defend that. That is just sick.
Yeah.
Those people should not be wasting my air. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's about the only way you can sanely look at that.
Yeah, well, and they weren't even the owners of the house. The owner of the home, who was only described as AJK in the police report, entered the room, discovered the scene, and told Joseph to go home. His grandmother then called the paramedics and police. Later, Johnson apparently called Joseph and threatened him for going to the police.
Yeah. Just nuke the entire house.
Rescue the baby
if you really think that it's worth it, but just plasma bomb the whole fucking house, and let's get rid of all of them, because apparently nobody in those walls has any brains whatsoever. Well, they got brains, they don't have any decency. Sorry, I wonder if they're related to Lester.
Who knows? But, I mean, that...
It makes sense, wouldn't it?
I mean, okay, yeah, we all know, you know, young, especially socially awkward people who are generally gamers, or young gamers are generally socially awkward. It's... but this was just screwed up, I mean...
There's no way you can defend that.
No.
I dare anybody to defend that.
It's like defending the pedophile priests thing. No, there's no way to defend it. There is no way to defend it.
No, yet. There isn't. How do we find this shit?
I find it on gaming sites.
We need a gore news section for messed up crap like that.
Yeah, but it's just horrible. Speaking of things that are little, this one's a little funnier. And if you're a Ubisoft gamer, next week Ubisoft will be moving around some of the servers. What this means for you, with those settled with Ubisoft PC and Mac games, that have the restrictive DRM is that in some cases your games won't work while the move takes place at all. PC games affected include Tom Clancy's Hawks 2. Might and Magic, Hero 6, Settler 7, Mac games that are going to be busted include Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell, and, again, The Settlers. Those games above will be completely inaccessible while the move takes place. Worryingly, there's no ETA on how long the move will take place. In addition, the multiplayer components of many Ubisoft games, both PC and console, will be impacted as well. Now... Okay, there's been reports circulating around involving THQ, and it, you know, it's slowly going under. Ubisoft and its movement around, with this kind of movement around, could negatively impact it, horribly so. And
yeah. And anybody who doesn't think that this didn't listen to us when we were talking about Sony and whatnot when they were down.
Yeah.
They were down for a long time. And, I mean, granted, they came back. I don't think anybody at Sony would ever say that they are back to where they want to be. Because I'm sure they lost a lot of business over that. So, this is them doing it. But the no ETA part, really, that they only released that info, I think, because it was so close. You really shouldn't release something like that. Even if you have to lie, make up a date. Because people will feel more comfortable later saying, oh, well, you know, we got this and, you know, it'll take a couple more days. Don't say we have no clue. That doesn't inspire confidence. Just give us a best of scenario, and if you have to, adjust it.
Yeah.
But so many things get screwed up when people say, we don't know what time it's coming back. People panic.
Yeah.
And that's what sometimes drives people. It's not that there's any legitimate reason other than the fact they don't know what's going on. That scares people more than anything, not knowing what's coming up.
Yeah, and, you know, and this seems to be a common thing. Well, and as I was previously saying, THQ, and this isn't in the notes, THQ was in a hell of a pickle. Just this week, actually, the NASDAQ is thinking about taking them off of Wall Street. Because, what was it, last year or the year before, they were doing it something like $70 a share. They're now down to, $30 a share, and they're down to 70 cents a share.
Oh, dear God, I'm going to buy some.
Yeah, I mean, they've had that much of a drop in just a couple years' time, and they're being threatened to be taken off the NASDAQ. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, and if you've played any THQ games, and not a lot of people do anymore, because, well, it's mainly football games.
They're more of a sports thing now, I think.
THQ.
I'm talking out my ass. I don't know. I can't think of any other games right off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, let's see here. Off top of, just for this year alone, they have UFC Undisputed 3, South Park the Game, WWE Brawl.
Oh, crap. Are they the WWE one?
Yeah, WWE 13.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I read something about that they're a couple of the WWE games kind of petered out this year.
Kind of.
Yeah, well, I was trying to be kind.
Yeah. Well, and this does tie into another thing I have here, I'm going to have to end up, unfortunately, crapping on a few friends' parades here soon because of this. Because with THQ's undecided nature, especially if it's with its heavy hits and whatnot to it, they've been working on a game called Warhammer 40K Dark Millennium, initially a game and then an MMO sequel, and, you know, that's been back and forth up in the air for a while now, and there were comments the other day that seemed to ease the fears about the project, but about a day or two later, the comments that came up brought the fears back in full force. And it seems, you know, the THQ doesn't have the stomach or coin to fully back the development of the game anymore, saying in a conference call, because of the large financial commitment and associated risks, we are being realistic about our resources and we are actively seeking a partner for this compelling new MMO. We will keep you up to date on our progress. And it puts them in a real hairy position, because that's one MMO that a lot of people have been waiting for. Especially after the failure of Warhammer Online.
Is that even going anymore?
I think it is still. Barely. It's kind of like EVE Online. You don't know anyone who plays it, but somehow it's still around.
Yeah. I will say this. Warhammer Online did have some neat ideas, though.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. I'm going to borrow a term from Gary Gannon. I think that will end up being vaporware.
Probably.
It was an idea, and I don't think anything will ever come of it. Or at least that version of it.
Yeah.
If it is made, I don't think THQ will probably make it at this point.
Yeah, well, and THQ's future is very, very dark.
Yeah.
So it's...
Which is sad. They had a pretty good run there for quite a while. It's just like everything else, it's like you either adapt or you stagnate, and for some stupid reason, some people just think that adapting means losing. So they just stagnate, even when they know it isn't the right thing to do. Video game companies really are bad about that.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for them. I do. They've put out some great games over the years, but...
Yeah, they have.
But
I hope if somebody buys them that they really...
You know, this would actually be a great opportunity, and as much as I hate saying this, it'd be a great opportunity for Blizzard, fine makers of StarCraft and World of Warcraft and whatnot. They could actually take, because StarCraft is based off of initially Warhammer and Starship Troopers, they could take this time to buy out the project, buy out THQ and buy out the project, convert the project into a StarCraft MMO, and half the work is already done.
Oh, you mean that thing called Titan they keep talking about?
Well, Titan, yeah, well, and they could just merge it with Titan or something like that. Who knows?
Right.
But it's a thought. It would be it's a great opportunity that they could take advantage of. And
oh, yeah.
They would also be able to knock out another member of competition.
And they'd get all the resources. I mean, you know, we're sitting there picking them apart. The fact remains, they are a video game maker, and if Activision Blizzard were to buy them, they'd get a lot of resources in return.
Yes,
and
they
personnel
would.
Probably, which
they'd have
would help
personnel,
them a lot.
They'd have the personnel, they'd have new, they'd have technology, they'd have funding. Mm-hmm. All they'd have to do is basically give up half of everything they own. But since they're flailing about a bit, it's kind of, do we want to go bankrupt or do we want to keep going, at reduced cost?
Yeah, this could be one thing that helps them a lot. And Blizzard is really well known, and this is something else that a lot of people chuckle about. They are not shy about incorporating other people's ideas. I'm just waiting for Rifts to show up somehow.
No, they did that. They did that. That was Cataclysm pre-launch event.
Oh, the Elemental Rifts, yes.
Yeah, so they've already done that.
Yeah, but see, they fucked it up because they didn't keep it.
Yeah, true.
It was only around for what?
A month?
About a month and a half? Maybe not even a month?
Yeah, about that.
I don't remember. What I would like to see them try in World of Warcraft would be Hutball. Or a Hutball type setting.
That'd be interesting, and that's for sure.
Well, and not only for the game, but because the way, if you've never watched anybody play it, Hutball is fully commentated. Because it's the Rotworms is one. I can't remember what the other team's name is. But because those are only two of the teams, they have full running commentary that goes on throughout the match. And it would be so easy to do.
Yeah.
DCUO could do it too, because they're already very well voice acted. So I would like to see them take something, since they are already stealing from Rift anyway with the Black Garden, which is what was it, Murder Ball or some weird thing?
Who knows?
Yeah, I think Activision has too many problems to really think about, but it would be a smart move by them.
Yeah.
It definitely would make them money overall. And that's pretty much the only thing they need to think about.
Yeah. That's only reminds me, since we brought Blizzard into this, it's kind of a note for people. Another 100,000 beta invites for Diablo 3 have been sent out. North American subscribers to Battle.net, check your inboxes and your spam box in case the settings are too strict. Blizzard has been sending out 100,000 invites. The message comes with a cautionary warning about fishers trying to take advantage of all the craps all the time, so be sure to check anything you is indeed from Blizzard or links to a legitimate Blizzard domain before you provide your login information. This is especially true if your Battle.net password is the same as any other you use elsewhere. So if you don't get a beta key, don't worry. Another round of invites in the future. But there's there's a little side note to throw out there.
Yeah, who was... Lore was in Diablo 2, because I watched him play it a few times.
Yeah.
It doesn't look too bad.
No, Diablo's not that bad of a game, though.
What I wish I could do is, because I really have no interest in it, is... I'd get it and I'd transfer it to Angela, because Angela really got into Diablo before I moved. And I know she won't be able to afford it, but I know she'd like it, because she liked playing. What was it, Diablo or Diablo 2? They had one of them. Chris had one, and then I think they found the other one somehow. I'll have to see if I can get that for them. I'm not really interested in the Diablo beta, though. And I think part of it is just because I'm so busy, it's just another thing I wouldn't be able to do anyway.
Yeah. But
Diablo is one of those games, it's almost all of it is able to be played single player. So it's like, well, I'll because I'm an annual subscriber, I'll get it when I get it, and then I'll putz with it if I want to.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. Single player, you're not on a timeline. You can put it down and you can come back to it whenever.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of strange and obscure things, Gene Simmons wants to make a Kiss Angry Birds game.
Well, it wouldn't be hard, but it'd be rather pointless.
Yeah. Because there's no product too outlandish for Kiss, frontman Gene Simmons told industry gamers that he and his rock band, or rather rock band, quote unquote, are looking for some sort of partnership with Revio's insanely popular Angry Birds video game franchise. In addition to talking to Sony about the other possible Kiss video game. In other news, Gene Simmons is still alive and pays attention to pop culture. Seriously, do we need another goddamn Kiss game?
I'm not sure which surprises me more, the fact that he pays attention to pop culture or the fact that he's alive to begin with.
I think it's a little A, a little B.
Well, yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, a little A, a little B. with that, pretty much with games wrapped up, guess what? We can now move on to movies.
And there was much silence.
And there was much silence, yes. Luckily, movies isn't that much of a large category this week, kind of. First off, we got an Evil Dead Bonanza for you. Shiloh Fernandez of Red Riding Hood. Anyone see that movie yet? I haven't. It's set to star in the Evil Dead remake, which is being directed by Fede Alvarez. He will take on the lead male role in the film, who is not Ash. Jane Levy, the star of ABC sitcom Suburgatory, has been officially cast in the lead female role of the Sam Raimi produced and Fede Alvarez directed remake of Evil Dead. She will replace Lily Collins, who was previously cast in the role but ended up dropping out. The story follows the five friends, David, Natalie, Eric, Olivia, and Mia. Mia, who is the female Ash, who hole up in a remote cabin where they discover a Book of the Dead. A demonic force is unleashed, possessing each until there is only one left to fight for survival. Other information on the film reveals that the lead character takes his younger sister to the family's cabin to help her kick her drug addiction. Without her drugs, she becomes insane and difficult to control, which makes it impossible to see that she's actually possessed. According to a previous report, David is a mechanic and is engaged to Natalie, Mia's sister heading to the cabin to detox, and Olivia is her best friend nurse. Eric presumably is the kid that unleashes demons. The director, Fede Alvarez, has given friends the first behind-the-scenes look at his Evil Dead reboot. Thanks to Bloody Disgusting, there's a photo from the set that shows the path to hell. If you've seen the movie, as you know, from the original film, that is the road, if you can call it. That's the cabin that Ash and his friends visit for his for the peaceful weekend. That doesn't exactly end up peaceful as they stumble across the Book of the Dead and unleash demons. Levius playing Mia, who's basically the female Ash character in this remake, and the movie is set to open April 12th, 2013. What have you gotten around to seeing The Evil Dead yet?
No. I want to watch it, but Netflix is having one of its moments where when you think something is there, it's not. They've been shifting around a lot of what's available on Instant Stream because they're starting to get geared up, last I heard, to having pretty much everything that they possibly can be instant streaming. But in the process of updating a lot, there are times when things just aren't there. So on the few times I remember to check it, I haven't been able to get it to work yet.
I'm not sold on it. I love Evil Dead. I'm a big fan of Evil Dead. But a remake. But the remake, I'm just kind of like, yeah. Now,
well, which would you rather see, Evil Dead remake or Manos remake, or
oh,
the
now,
Manos?
Okay, now, oh.
I know. Tomato, tomato. It's not really a choice. Okay. Would you rather see the Evil Dead remake or the sequel to Manos? Because there is a sequel being filmed right now.
You know, I think I would rather see the sequel than Manos.
That's saying a lot.
That is how, like, hardcore I am about my Evil Dead fanboyism. I mean, okay. As I posted on the site, on the Facebook page earlier, I fully admit that I still have my doubts about the game, but it's got me more interested. Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, I remember that trailer.
Yeah, we've talked about
that
this.
That is so fucked up of a movie. I wouldn't be surprised to find that
game.
A video. Oh, that is a video game.
Yeah. Well,
I thought that was a movie.
No.
Either I want to own that video game just for the hell of it.
They just put up a new trailer, and I put it up actually on the site today or yesterday on the Facebook page. And.
Say that's a PC game.
Yeah, well, it shows off the alternate costume selection. And the first alternate costume they show off is her dressed as Ash from The Evil Dead.
Oh, well, that'd be kind of neat.
Chainsaw, the ripped sleeve, the whole nine yards, and it's a sexy femme Ash in a way that makes me feel dirty.
take much, but okay, moving on.
At least I'm honest about it.
Oh, well, yeah.
But if there's no other reason, that game just pretty much sold me with that right there, because it's just like, that's awesome. Too bad I don't have an Xbox or a friggin' PS3.
Shit, I'm gonna buy one just so I can play that.
But
I honestly, knowing what it takes now, I will listen to what's the better version, and I will buy the console so I can get that version. I think that game is... That's going to be a cult thing. That's going to be like a Rocky Horror Picture Show of video games.
Yeah. Well, and I've... I've read the extended material for The Evil Dead. I've listened to the audio commentary. I'm a big old Evil Dead fan. I read the comic, Evil Dead versus Freddy versus Jason, okay?
Hmm.
Which is a direct sequel to Freddy versus Jason and Army of Darkness.
I want to read that now.
It's a great comic. I mean, because you get to see Ash and Freddy and Jason tear each other up. And then the Deadites get involved and it gets even more interesting. So it's... And then there's time paradoxes and looping involved that makes it even more interesting. So, but you know, I'm that much of a fan, so I'm really not that excited about the remake, because that's the big hot thing currently is remakes and reboots. And
yeah.
While it may, I'm a little more at ease with the fact that Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi are attached, it doesn't have Ash, it doesn't have any of the characters in it. So I'm just kind of like, eh. Do we really need it? No, we don't, but we're going to get it.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's something that we don't need, and many people were very happy not to ever even think of wanting, but because it's an untouched IP, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. When was the last Evil Dead movie? There's three of them.
94-ish.
That's what I thought. So it's like, the further back it goes, it just becomes far too tempting to just not do anything with it, because people are just salivating at the thought of another movie.
Yeah.
And the problem is, in that amount of time, the original actor just can't really do it anymore, so they have to reboot. So it's kind of a money thing and it's a fan thing, because
1992.
If the fans weren't there, they wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
So since that's the only thing they'll give them, the fans have no choice really to accept it, because there's no other way to get that kind of a deal. It's kind of like the Ghostbusters thing they're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I read the expanded universe stuff involving the Evil Dead. I mean, they've had Evil Dead versus Marvel Zombies, okay?
Oh, now that I'd like to see.
That was actually a precursor to Marvel Zombies, so.
Huh. But,
yeah, it explains.
And that's still going for some reason, I think.
Yeah. So, that's why I sit there, I'm like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of hype and material. I mean, Evil Dead the musical, stuff like that. That's why I'm not too excited about a remake, especially a remake that diverges so much from the get-go.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Well, I think the diverging thing, too, kind of comes from Halloween, when they remade that. They had a couple of elements that were core to it because they had to, but after that they pretty much threw all the rest of it out, which I don't know. I like the first the new Halloween, kind of. It had its moments. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly running out to the video store to do it either.
Wow.
I just, I'm sorry, I cannot, as much as I love Malcolm McDowell, I can't see him as the psychiatrist. It just doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. It's one of those weird spots. We're kind of in a reboot hell kind of situation, really, because, I mean, this next one we got here, and this one's kind of an affront to me, at least I take it as a personal affront. And that's a Short Circuit reboot.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, okay. Dimension Films has found a writer for its reboot of Short Circuit. Variety is reporting that Matt Lieberman has been hired to write a script that will be directed by Tim Hill of Hop fame. All details are being kept under wrap, but the film will be a reimagining of the 1986 family film. The original film followed Johnny Five, an experimental military robot that developed artificial intelligence and self-awareness, and helped a young troubled boy, which spawned like three sequels and a short-lived series, I think, or something like that.
I think it was a TV series.
Yeah, and the project has been in the works since 2009, when Dimension opted the remake rights. When Hill signed on to direct in August, the project gained momentum. David Foster, who produced the original, is producing, again, which is cool.
Oh, that's good. At least,
along with Ryan E. Hepp, John Hyde, and Brian Manis. Production is slated to begin at the end of this year for a scheduled release next summer. And, you know, Bob Weinstein actually had something to say on the project. Dimension has had a great success with the Spy Kid film series, which has grossed over $500 million worldwide. We're looking for Short Circuit to be our next family franchise. And
you said it spawned 3 movies, did it?
It might have. I don't know.
It spawned 2. I didn't remember a third, but that's not to say there wasn't one. I don't remember it.
Okay, let's check. I'm having to check this real quick. Let's see, Short Circuit 2.
I just want to make sure I didn't miss one somewhere.
Let's see, I don't know. Well, maybe it was only 2 movies. Elephant, I'm checking. There's the first one. Oh, I guess it was only 2. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well. I just am really wondering how they're going to do that. Because again, that's just like everything else. You can't make it too similar, because a lot of those things that were done then are dated now. So those plot points and stuff won't work. But on the other hand, as we've just been saying, if you make it too different, then nobody will like that either. So they're kind of in a bind when they do stuff like this, and it just makes you wish they'd stop doing stuff like this, because
yeah.
it's not helping anybody.
Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible thing. It's reboot hell.
Yeah.
I really wish they'd just stop it altogether. Next up, and this one's kind of a... You know, since we're still in reboot hell, might as well do this one too. The RoboCop reboot has a writer now.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, Short Circuit... Evil Dead. They're taking a look at the 80s and going, here's where all the great movies were. Let's copy them.
Okay. Who in the fuck thought the 80s had the great movies?
Oh, I'm waiting for...
They were popular movies. But they weren't exactly good. Most of them were actually rather cheesy.
Yeah, well, that was the 80s for you. Though, yeah. I've said they're scraping the bottom of the barrel for a while now. But, let's be honest, they haven't really gotten to the, you know, nougaty bottom, you know, they haven't burrowed through the barrel into the ground and started finding worms. You want to know how we'll know?
But they're very close to it.
Yeah, you want to know how we all know they've reached that point?
Hmm.
When they decide to remake Return of the Living Dead.
Again?
No, they haven't remade Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, they have made Return. Okay,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that'll certainly be one.
Yeah, they've remade, you know, Night of, Dawn of, Day of...
Afternoon of, Evening Tea of, yeah, that's the British version.
Midnight Snack of... Yeah. Yeah,
watermelon eating of, you know, there's the Southern Black joke we can throw in there. There ain't Chinese, the noodle shack of, there we go.
Yeah, you
noodle
know.
Time. or you rice.
while they keep seeming to churn out a new Return of movie every couple of years, you know, the last two were Rave to the Grave and Necropolis.
Necropolis.
Which were really terrible. Oh, wow, they were terrible. Necropolis was okay, but not so good.
That's usually how zombie movies go.
But we'll certifiably, undeniably, and completely irresponsibly know they have reached the end of the line. They have completely and totally run out of ideas when they decide to remake a movie that was created from a debate between two creative artists about original movie rights, that had its name changed not to infringe on the movie rights of another movie series, and ended up becoming a mockery of what it started out was as, but its original starting point was a mockery of what it was based off of.
Yeah. I'll read the cliff notes on that one, thanks.
Yeah, so, you know, but anyone who's seen Return of the Living Dead knows exactly what I'm saying right there. So we'll know they've really reached the bottom there. But with the RoboCop reboot, as I'm back on track, you know, they found a writer, and who is it? It's Gran Torino's Nick Schneck. Has been hired to work with director Jose Padilla. There's not too much news about the remake since Padilla was announced as director. Even though no one else has been cast in the lead, the plan is to begin production in the summer. Padilla had something to say about in an earlier statement about his plans for the film, saying, "Wars in the future are going to be fought with drones. We won't send a plane with a pilot in. It'll be a drone. It's getting that way now, and 10 years from now, that's how wars are going to be fought. But what if a drone goes wrong? Who's to blame then? Do you blame the drone?" And that problem asks if you can consider a robot guilty of a crime. Or is it the corporation that made the robot that is guilty? How do you fight back against drones when you don't have drones? And if you can actually decipher what the hell that man is talking, please send an email to us at findingsurgery@gmail.com.
That is a really interesting concept and really quite scary.
Well, yeah.
They kind of did something like that at... You've seen Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
They kind of did something like that at the end of it. It was one guy controlling them, but it was basically what happens when all the drones basically go nuts and nobody's expecting them to. That was actually a fairly good movie, by the way. I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Yes, it actually is quite a good movie.
Iron Man's done good so far. Yeah. I hope they continue with it, and I hope they continue at the level they've been with it.
Yeah.
That's the other trick.
Well, yeah, and that's always the tickle me Elmo kind of moment. Is it going to fail? Is it going to succeed? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Is it going to surprise you and start swearing randomly? Oh, wait, that already happens.
I was speaking of, Elmo and TV, are you going to watch the...
If you say Super Bowl, I'll stab you with my pipe.
No, that's what I was going to say, and the reason why is I'm going to cheat. I'm going to watch the Coke Bears watch the Super Bowl.
What?
Coca-Cola has a thing where they have a couple of animators, and they are going to have a Coke Bear for each team watching the Super Bowl, animated and updated in real time. So I'm going to watch that just because I think it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
I'm trying to remember the last time something like that happened. Someone did something like that. I'm not sure how well it went. Actually, it might have been Coke that did it the last time.
It may have been, but they are... Where is it? I just found it on... let's see if I can... But yeah, I saw that on an ad this afternoon. And they have... Coca-Cola Bears Super Bowl commercial. Yeah, here we go. Mashable had something on it. Let's see if they have the link. But they're having a couple of... And when a team scores, the bear will react. If a team is doing really bad, one bear will excuse himself and walk off. CokePolarBowl.com.
Coca-Cola. Okay.
Yep. And it links to a Facebook app. And when I think it's 5 o'clock is when it starts. And there was something that I can't remember, but like when one of them that is losing goes out, they'll have like other polar bears out there, and they'll have like a game of catch.
Yeah.
it sounds like it's really thought out quite a bit. So, 17 hours, let's see what that'd be, 6, yeah, about, well, 18, yeah, so about 5 o'clock it's going to start, a few minutes before 5.
Okay, well, we'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that'd be, we should see tomorrow if we can do it, if we can, and I already RSVP'd for it. I figured it'll be fun enough to sit and chat about.
Yeah.
But we should do a little video thing, because we've been talking about doing a video thing. Sit there and have our reactions to the Bears' reactions. Oh, why not? And because I don't think they're showing the Super Bowl. I think they're just showing their reaction to it.
So, MSTing, Bears MSTing the Super Bowl.
Right.
It should be fun.
That should be fun.
Before we make any more plans and strange things, this one I kind of want. Here's something I want to throw out a little bit. This is kind of fun. Behind the Mask with Bane, Tom Hardy talks unmuffled. Tom Hardy, who was doing a press release for This Means War recently, during the interview, he shared what it was like to play Bane in the Christopher Nolan's highly anticipated Dark Knight Rises. Whether you like Bane's voice or not, it was very hard to understand. Even Hardy had difficulty and has said that he had trouble getting used to wearing the face mask for the role. He went on to say, as Bane's mask is tight, actually. I got used to it, but you get used to anything really in time. Hardy describes Bane as brutal and heavy-handed, but says it was easy for him to separate himself from the role. I didn't get into a dark place at all. A lot of dark characters are easy to distance from. Something I feel comfortable with, I suppose. I think that came up after the total immersion that Heath Ledger had while doing the Dark Knight. That some still speculate led to his unfortunate death. So that might be one of those things that they asked. I didn't check the full interview, unfortunately. But I thought that was kind of interesting to throw out there. And since we are now running into almost 2 hours just talking, I think it's time to wrap this up a bit. What do you say?
I was going to say, anybody surprised that we've gone 2 hours and don't need any music at all?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened, like I said, that's what happened the last time. Is we got to talking and we just went straight on. We didn't have to have a break or anything, so. But, yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll see what's going on. We'll okay. See if we can do a video thing.
Yep. So, you know, we'll keep an eyeball out for that. We might do that tomorrow. Depends, really. On that note, you have been listening to Find Out Exposure on Jackalope Radio. Generally live every Monday from 5 to 7 Central. You can join us in our chat room on our official homepage of findoutexposure.com. Just go to the chat space area. You can find archives of this episode and other previous episodes on findoutexposure.com or on Jackalope Radio's archives. You can email us at findoutexposure@gmail.com. Like us on the Facebooks. We always love a new like. And,
oh, yeah.
You know what? We'll talk to you next week. Oh, actually, we do have something special scheduled coming up here soon, but we'll keep you in suspense for that a little bit.
We already dropped a little tidbit on it earlier.
Yeah,
we have
an interview coming up, so that's gonna be real fun. And I think we're actually gonna do a lot. We're gonna do a live interview show with that, so it's gonna be real interesting.
That's what the plan is.
So, you know, with that note, we will talk to you later. Actually, we're signing off on Saturday night, so this is a pre-recorded show. Have fun. And we will talk to you live. Oh, God, what is that? Oh, Monday the 13th, before Valentine's Day. So.
And who would it be? It'd probably be Althenan on Twitch. For watching, if we do the Coke Bears.
Yeah.
It'll be up there.
I might be playing some Star Trek Online at the same time, so, you know, hey.
Well, probably what I'll do is I'll put like we do, I'll have Skype on one and Skype on the other. I'll have the Bears in the middle. So it'd be like, and maybe if I really give more than half a shit, I may actually put I may put the actual Super Bowl on the other end, so just so everybody can see what we're reacting to.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will talk to you the 13th.
Yeah, take it easy, folks. Have a good week.